Rise up, cows! You're listening to Quasi Indefatigable Gentleness. I'm Jane Emerald, and this is going to be an interesting podcast. Something just came to mind, and I'm going to talk about it. Many years ago for me, I graduated from college. It doesn't seem that long ago, but I've been out of college for a very long, 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 long time. Anyway, I was studying child development. It was my field. I was going to be, I don't know what I was going to be. I think I was hoping to be a good dad. And I decided that I wanted to do that for less advantaged kids. And so I got into doing child care, which required me to get into child development, because that's what people who have studied do. You just don't do child care, which is like babysitting, for instance. You go out and you do it in a kind of a scientific method, You find you find what people can do, and you try to make them better, you try to keep them up with their cohorts, whatever. Now I'm starting to use all these weird technical terms, aren't I? Let's start at the very beginning. Let's talk a little bit about child development for a minute. Child development kind of has taken over of almost everything that gets done to kids from birth until, a long time. Usually at least up until the age of 8. That's when we consider the kind of things that you would normally see in a school. Sit in your desk, be good, shut up, sit down, do your work. That kind of happens after the age of 8. We sneak it in early because that's the way schools are. Schools are into watering down what would be considered maybe a fourth or fifth grade curriculum, and trying to get kids to start that earlier, so they start it earlier in school, first, second, third grade. Starts getting real serious about academics. When most people think about child development, especially early child development, we think about what happens in kindergarten. We have fun. We cut things out, we color, we paste, we go and we have games, we tell stories, and this is something that continues to a point up into first, second, third grade type school environments. Well, I was studying to do preschool, everything before kindergarten, and kind of including kindergarten too. So it was a whole lot of what you would expect from kindergarten, kind of down to a lower level. There's been a lot of research done, and this is what really dominates our culture, our cultural thinking. This is what kids need, even to the point to where parents are encouraged, and social service agencies, let's say, for instance, you might not be the best parent in the universe, and your local social services agency, child protective services, whatever, is looking at your family. The kind of thing they would really love to see, and that proves that you're a good parent, is you doing basically what gets done at a child care center. So I studied this stuff for 4 years, and it was really interesting. College is more of an indoctrination program than anything else. I'm not saying you're not learning things, but it's almost beyond learning. It's more, this is the way you need to think about the situation. This is the vocabulary you need. This is the way to think, and this is the way to do everything. Child development has really kind of dominated how everybody's supposed to interact with anybody from birth until the age of about 8. I'll give you a little background about it, just personal. It's real slight. It's my take on it, so don't speak of it as history. I tend to think that most people that are in the line of history are somewhat thinned. They're usually pretty biased one way or another in how they look at things. I know people swear up and down that they're not biased, that they can look at things from every angle. That's a lie. It's not true. It can't be done. Everything goes through the filter of your reality, of your background, of the way your parents or caregivers or teachers taught you to look at things, or the way your culture does. There's a little subculture. I'm part of a subculture. I like to call it being a Mormon. And so I have kind of a built-in bias that way. And I don't try to sit there and try to say I don't have a bias. Of course I've got a bias. Everybody does. So at least you know right off the bat, and I used to do trainings for child development, child care, for lots of things that are just around that whole cluster of how you deal with kids. And that's the first thing I always talk about is my bias. Man, I'm a Mormon. I've got 6 kids at home. Do I have a problem with professionals? Yes. I have to say I have a problem with experts. So if an expert's saying something, I am perfectly willing to say, I don't believe that, worth garbage. It doesn't bother me in the least to say that to somebody who has a PhD. In fact, I have. I'm not sure my professors were very enamored of me because I would either directly challenge it or I would just not think that way. I'm not a person that's very amenable to indoctrination. And even if you know, like, say, the one culture that I really do try to adhere to, which is Mormonism, I'm probably the most interesting Mormon you've probably met because I don't run the party line, honestly. I don't run the party line because it's the party line. If I do run the party line, it's after lots of thought and lots of soul searching as to whether I think that's the right thing to do. That's how I arrived. That's how I stay with Mormonism, for instance. Okay, but Mormonism is the topic, child development. I'm going to give you what I feel is kind of a background of what child development is and where it came from and how we got it. And a lot of people are going to be upset and say, "Jay, that's not what we taught you in school." And you go, "Yeah, I was listening. I took the test." You're going to hear a little bit of the same lingo, but it's my take on it. It really is. A lot of people start with Jean Piaget, which I believe he was a psychologist. I'm not sure exactly what he was. I think he ventured into a lot of things, but he got a real interest in children, and he went out and he studied them. And he was looking for the stages of children, something he could find that was common for nearly all children that were basically normal. And he came up with these different stages of development. And it's really from him, from Jean P. Piaget, from a man named Eric Erickson. That really wasn't his name. He took up that name later. I won't go over his other name because I'm sure it was very Eastern European and difficult. I don't remember what it was. I just know that wasn't his name that his parents gave him. He also came up with it. It's hard to describe. A lot of conflicts that happen. Either this happens or that happens. Like for a baby, for an infant, for instance. Let's use the terms that are better. An infant, somebody below the age of like 12 months. The biggest thing was learning a sense of trust of things, you know. And parents do that best by, you know, when they cry, they get their cries attended to. When their butts are wet, they get their bottom changed. All these things kind of happen, and it becomes this kind of pathway. It can fork. Either a child will be really really trusting that their needs are going to get taken care of, or they're very untrusting. They just don't believe these things are going to happen. It's not like something you can talk about with them, but you can see it in a whole lot of different ways. And all this stuff was brought together by these gentlemen, and there's more, making observations of kids and how kids grow and develop. What's normal, what's not normal. A lot of people will bring out Maria Montessori. Her, what she did, you know, it's hard to call what Maria did scientific in the classical sense. She didn't have education in this. She only had a desire to serve children. And she started these children's houses that were made, and she did in these houses what she thought would help kids the most. She was very academic-minded. We still have them today. You go to a Montessori school, you have these incredible kids. They do all these interesting things. And a lot of people that want their kids to get ahead of others, want to do some really amazing things, they'll put their kids in the Montessori program because of how wonderful it is. There's Montessori elementary schools, Montessori junior high and high school. Continue that whole model of being what I would call really child-centered, things like that. That's really where child care comes from. Now, child care as an industry didn't begin until probably the 60s. They started up in the 40s with the advent of World War II, the fact that all the men were gone, the women needed to go to work. And in the factories, something needed to be taken care of for the kids of these women that were supposed to be working. That's where child care started. It's kind of in these factory nurseries where you go and you put your kids. These kind of things, the things that grew out of them, these kind of centers, nurseries, were where Erickson, Piaget, the people that were with them, went into to go see how children develop, because you could have a whole lot of kids in a concentrated space do that. Of course, the fact that the kids are in a concentrated space kind of skews everything. So everything that we think of as normal when it comes to child development, all of the basis of all that came from these kids who were in child care. So it's really kind of odd. A kid who stayed home until they went to school didn't really enter into the equation. Now, as I said, this is my personal bias. I can't tell you anything besides what I think is true here. This is going to be a 2 or 3-parter, I can see already. This is part one of child development. Or maybe I can get through it all, I don't know. That's a little bit of the history of how this stuff started. In a whole lot of ways, these nursery kids, especially ones that were in programs that were either academic or really intensive, where you had adults that were really with these kids all the time, constantly doing things with them, produces a very different child than, say, being at home with parents who have other things to do besides spending the entire day just interacting with their kids. I'm not saying it's better or worse at this point. I do have an opinion on that. But yeah, I'm just going to say at this juncture that it's different. These are different kids. At some point, and I'm not sure exactly when it happened, I think I was actually in high school and college learning about these things, when the change really started happening. When we went from child care centers where just a whole bunch of kids that needed to be taken care of because their parents either couldn't or wouldn't do it because they had other things to do, where kids would just go and they would eat and they would have a place to take a nap and things like that, where we went from a child care center type thing to what I call, for lack of a better term, a child development center, where things are done very, strictly speaking, scientifically, where kids are studied, where kids are measured on some scale to see if they're behind or ahead of other kids, and changing the curriculum to try to work on that, to try to make everybody kind of equal. I know that's going to upset some people, because most people in the child development field really think their whole point is to get kids as far up as possible, and that's patently not true for a couple of reasons, which I probably won't be able to get into. This might just end up being the history of child development, because I'm at minute 15. I've only got 5 or 6 minutes left before I gotta finish this particular thing. I entered the field, I think most efficiently, in about 1988. I had just come back from my mission from the Mormon Church, the guys with the white shirts and ties, doing all that. I had dealt with kids almost the entire time. I went to Utah, and most of the people that weren't members of the Mormon Church in Utah at that time were the kids of people who had, for lack of a better term, fallen away from the church. So I was teaching a bunch of 9, 10, 11-year-olds the things I was teaching, my religion. So it gave me this wonderful opportunity of kids, and I really enjoyed it, and the kids really liked me. So I decided this is what I was going to go into. I didn't know that the pay was wretched for like a preschool teacher. Now it's much, much better, but you have to work for a school and go through all the stuff schools go through, and the fact that I'm a man really doesn't help there. I mean, I know that, you know, you have to be good, you have to be fair, but let's be honest, when it comes right down to it, there's a whole bunch of ways that they can make it look like they were being fair and never really get around to it. Okay, that's how I started. 1988 was, I don't know where it was on the continuum from just kind of what we used to call custodial care, which was bad, for, you know, just basically taking care of kids, making sure you wipe their nose, wipe their butt, make sure they get fed, make sure they have a place to take a nap, and things like that, to where we were doing all these activities, all this stuff, activity centers, unit plans, curriculums, so that these kids could develop faster, perhaps, than normal, or at least try to keep them on normal, what we would consider normal development, as Piaget and Erickson and the other people like them put them. You know, that this is what a 4-year-old kid should be able to do if they're normal. That was kind of what I was immersed in at that time in my life, some 25 years ago. And it was great. I enjoyed being with the kids. I enjoyed having fun with them. It was a great adventure. I have never been a type that likes orthodoxy. I'm not a very orthodox person. Even as a Mormon, my one and only affiliation that I'm actually active in, that I actually put a term to me, I'm a Mormon. I'm not very orthodox there either. And so I wasn't very orthodox in child development either. And as time went by, I started to rub up against that harder about what people wanted me to do and how I didn't really think it was the best idea in the world to do it that way. Because most child development centers, most child care centers, receive government funding, government has a definite has some definite influence over what happens, especially in teaching of preschool teachers, directors, things like that, so that people can just, you know, so that people do it the way the government wants it done. People, I'm sure my professors will hate to hear me say it. I think it's true, though. The government exercises a lot of control over this. There is a certain, you know, there are certain agencies that lead in this. They write all the books. They make all the determinations. And if you skew very far at all from those few guardians of the orthodoxy, for lack of a better term for it, you're going to find yourself on your keister and not getting jobs and in trouble, which was what I was becoming really, really quickly. It was troublemaker. It was kind of the beginning of it, when I started getting that way in my early 20s. So you have all this stuff. Let me just say, as just kind of an ending to this, that the history of child development came from a whole bunch of people figuring out what was normal for children. They would get a large group of children, and they would kind of take an average of what they were able to do. Can children that are 2.5 years old skip? Can children who are 2.5 years old stand up on one leg? Can they hop? How far can they hop? How far can they run in 10 minutes? Honestly, we didn't ever put them through tests like that, endurance tests, things like that, because that was considered inappropriate. But it's stuff like that, you know. What should a child of such and such an age be able to do? And what they did in child development is all of a sudden child development became the important place where we had to make sure that these things were met, that every kid that went into child care was able to do these things on target, at the age they were supposed to. Next time we get together, next podcast, we're going to talk about child development, its pros and cons. And I'm gonna break the thing wide open from a person that was on the inside, who had spent many years doing child development and had taught it. I was a trainer of child development things. Anyway, we'll get back to that next time. We're just about out of time. This is Quasi-Indefatigable Zenilith. Go see us on the internet, QUIX.US. I'm Jay Nemro. Don't be a cow.